Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Raymond Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijeet Kundu from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants in the Q4 FY22 conference call of Raymond Limited. I have with me Mr. Jay Mukund, who is the Head of Investor Relations of Raymond Limited. Without taking further time, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Mukund. Over to you, Mukund.
Thank you, Abhijeet. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining our 4Q FY22 earnings call of Raymond Limited. I hope you would have received a copy of our results presentation. I would like to urge you to go through the same along with the disclaimer slides. Today, we have with us from senior management of Raymond, Mr. S.L. Pokarna, who's the Director of Raymond Limited, Mr. Amit Agarwal, Group CFO, Mr. Sunil Kataria, CEO of Lifestyle Business, Mr. Harmohan Sahni, CEO of Realty Business, and Mr. Jatin Khanna, Head of Corporate Development. Now I would like to hand over the call to Group CFO Amit, who will give you the summary of the company's quarterly performance before we open up for Q&A. Over to you, Amit.
Thank you, Mukund. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for the earnings call to discuss our results of fourth quarter of fiscal 2022. Let us quickly reflect upon what the market conditions were during the fourth quarter. Domestic markets regained buoyancy, driven by optimism in consumer sentiment, opening up of physical workplaces, and an uptick in tourism and hospitality. Although the initial weeks of the quarter were impacted due to concerns relating to third wave of COVID pandemic, we witnessed progressive recovery from second half of January to February, followed by a sharp uptick in March. This was fueled by opening up of physical offices and institutions, resumption of social gatherings, and robust revival of wedding season in the coming quarter. As a result of strong recovery in people mobility, we witnessed a significant improvement in our store footfall, leading to healthy traction in secondary sales on high street stores and malls. The resilience showcased by Indian consumers throughout the quarter and the busy wedding season in the next quarter gave a strong thrust to our primary channels. In the export markets such as U.S., U.K., and Europe, in spite of slight spike in COVID cases early in the quarter, the demand momentum was maintained in both garmenting and engineering sectors as no major lockdown was imposed by any country. We observed positivity in consumerism amidst the headwinds of inflationary pressure and rising interest rates. We are happy to share that with fourth quarter fiscal 2022, we have delivered two successive quarters of record achievements in the last 10 years. It has been another outstanding quarter in terms of overall performance of the company. The company has once again achieved numerous milestones, leading to robust performance driven by strong focus on execution. It is a testimony to the fact that as an over 95-year-old strong brand loved by millions of consumers and a pan-India presence across businesses, we as a resilient organization that has been demonstrating the grit to bounce back with renewed vigor quarter on quarter. Let me now give you some of the key consolidated financial highlights for the quarter four fiscal 2022. Our consolidated revenues grew by 44% to 2,032 crores from 1,407 crores in the fourth quarter of fiscal 2022, the highest ever quarterly revenues. The growth was driven by strong increase in sales across all businesses in both domestic as well as export markets. Besides highest ever revenue, we also achieved highest ever EBITDA of 358 crores with EBITDA margin of 17.6%. This was driven by strong performance across most of our businesses as compared to previous year. Driven by strong performance, we reported highest quarterly PAT of rupees 263 crores, which grew by 367% over previous year PAT of 56 crores in the fourth quarter fiscal 2021. Our continued focus on generating free cash flow has led to increase in the free cash flow by 203 crores, which helped in reducing the net debt by 165 crores, leading to a lower net debt of 1,088 crores as on 31st of March 2022. During the company recorded certain exceptional items amounting to 111 crores, which includes in apparel business, the company wrote off certain trade receivables amounting to 99 crores. We will discuss this in more detail in our branded apparel segment. Similarly, interest subsidy receivable on TUF loan was also written off during the quarter by 12 crores. Let me now give you the key consolidated financial highlights for the complete fiscal year 2022. Fiscal year 2022 has been a year of significant achievements. In our B2C business of branded textile and branded apparel, having core brand strength and wide distribution network across the country, Raymond capitalized on the buoyant demand and strong consumer sentiment in second half of this financial year 2022. With work life coming back to the physical mode, coupled with strong wedding season, demand across our B2C businesses witnessed the growth impetus. Branded textile segment reported 77% growth from 1572 crore in fiscal 21 to 2789 crore in fiscal 2022. In our branded apparel segment, multiple initiatives such as store rationalization, cost optimization, consolidation of back-end processes were undertaken to improve the business. This segment reported twice the revenues from 457 crore in fiscal 21 to 891 crore in FY22 with an EBITDA of 43 crore in fiscal 22 compared to an EBITDA loss of 125 crore in fiscal 2021. Demand in international market and robust momentum of export orders maintained in garmenting and engineering businesses, leading to sales increasing by 32% in garmenting to 725 crore and 50% to 812 crore in engineering business respectively. In our real estate business, with the continued overwhelming response from the customers for our 10X project, with 78% of the inventory launched being sold. During the third quarter of fiscal 22, we launched premium residential project, The Address by GS, for which we have well received very inspiring response from the customers, where within 5 months of launch, over 30% of the entire project has been sold. At an overall level, our consolidated revenue stood at 6,348 crores, a strong 44% growth over previous year revenues of 3,648 crores. Highest consolidated EBITDA was achieved with 881 crores and a margin of 13.9% during the year. In spite of severe impact of second wave of COVID pandemic in the first quarter of this fiscal year, a growth of over 560% as compared to 135 crore in the previous year. Our continued focus on cost optimization has enabled in overall cost reduction of 453 crore, which is 21% reduction from pre-COVID levels of 2,207 crore in fiscal 20 to 1,320 crore in fiscal 2022. Reported profit before tax of 413 crore in a year compared to loss of 455 crore in previous year. Reported highest annual PAT of rupees 260 crore in last 10 years as compared to net loss of rupees 297 crore in previous year. Over last couple of years, the pandemic had impacted overall businesses at the backdrop of strong financial performance, especially during the second half of the year, for the year fiscal 22, the board of directors have recommended a dividend of 30% for the year. Now let me discuss the fourth quarter operational performance in more detail. In terms of our revenues, in the fourth quarter of fiscal 22, strong growth was witnessed across all businesses, resulting in 44% growth from 1,407 crore in fourth quarter of fiscal 21 to 2,032 crore in fourth quarter of fiscal 22. In our B2C businesses of branded textile and branded apparel, all the trade and retail channels have shown stronger recovery resulting in these businesses. The branded textile grew higher than the pre-COVID level of fourth quarter fiscal 19 as well by 6% to 886 crores. In our B2B businesses of high-value cotton shirting, we witnessed strong pickup in domestic demand resulting in growth of over 31% compared to previous year. In our garmenting segment, also reported strong growth by 69% driven by continued high momentum in key markets of US, UK and Europe. As far as our engineering business is concerned, we have grown by 8% over previous year levels driven by growth in domestic and export markets in various categories including drills. In our real estate business, we witnessed strong growth in bookings on the back of encouraging demand and fast-paced construction activity leading to a sales of 321 crore, which is 500% growth over the previous year. Let me now talk about the EBITDA and the operating cost. We achieved highest ever EBITDA of 358 crore for the quarter, a growth of 82% over the previous year, and EBITDA margin stood at 17.6%, higher by about 360 basis points as compared to previous year. This was driven by strong profitable performance across our B2C businesses of branded textile and branded apparel, high contribution from real estate business and well supported by other B2B businesses. In terms of our operating cost, the OPEX cost was 506 crore during the quarter, which was higher by 24% as compared to previous year level of 408 crore. Primarily due to increase in the revenue by 44%. However, on a full year basis, with sustained focus on optimizing operating expenses, we have been able to lower the OPEX by 21%, which is saving of 453 crore from 1750 crore in FY22 over a pre-COVID level FY20 of 2207 crore. On the working capital front, we continued our focus on efficient working capital management. Overall, our working capital decreased by 99 crores to 1,002 crores as on 31st of March 2022 as compared to 1,101 crores as on 31st of December 2021. There has been an increase in the inventory mainly to address to the upcoming summer demand in the B2C business of branded textile and branded apparel and catering to the customer orders in garmenting business. Furthermore, in our real estate business, due to construction activity, there is an increase in inventory as recognition in income statement is based on POCM method. In the receivables, there has been a continued focus on collection and we have been able to further reduce the receivable days by 4 days to 39 days in March 2022. From a cash flow perspective, driven by strong operating performance, we reported strong operating cash flows of 342 crore and a free cash flow of 203 crore for the quarter 4 of fiscal 2022. And also for the full year, despite impact of pandemic in the first quarter and few weeks of second half of this quarter, through strong operating performance and working capital optimization, on number of NWC day basis, we were able to reduce by 37% from 72 days in March 21 to 45 days in March 2022 based on quarterly annualized revenue basis. Overall, we reported strong operating cash flows of 677 crore and a free cash flow generation of 380 crore for the full year. As far as debt is concerned, the gross debt stood at 2066 crore as on 31st March 2022 as compared to 2125 as on 31st December 2021. The cash and cash equivalent was higher by 108 crore at 978 crore as on 31st March 2022 as compared to 872 crore in 31st December 2021. We were able to reduce the net debt by 165 crore and our net debt stood at 1088 crore as on 31st of March 2022 as compared to 1253 crore as of 31st December 2021. Here I would like to reiterate the fact that over last 2 years, which was a period impacted by multiple waves of pandemic, our strong focus on cost optimization and effective working capital management, we have been able to reduce the net debt by 771 crore in line with our deleveraging strategy. We also improved our debt structure through effective refinancing with 3 to 10 year maturities of long-term debt. Overall, we have been able to improve net debt to equity ratio from 0.75x in March 20 to 0.45x in March 2022. Now allow me to take you through our business segment-wise performance. Branded textile segment sales reported strong growth of 23% to 886 crore versus 722 crore in previous year. In the suiting business, there was strong demand across all categories of wool blends, polyviscose and drifting solutions. Our new collections catering to latest trends have resonated with our customers across markets. Offerings such as wool rich blend has received strong response from our customers, and also there has been high demand for the premium gifting solutions designed specially for the wedding season. In the shirting business, growth can be attributed to higher realization and better product mix. We continued to receive good response for new collection, including wipes collection, our latest collection of vibrant shirting fabric, addressing the needs of casualization that are available across cotton and linen blends. Growth witnessed across primary channels and retail store network driven by strong momentum. Secondary sales continued with higher momentum in Q4. In our TRS network, we witnessed the average transaction value increase of 14% compared to previous year levels, mainly due to improved consumer sentiment and increased footfall. Sales also picked up in primary channels due to upcoming wedding season. The segment reported healthy EBITDA margin of 22.7%, marginally higher than previous year. We have been able to maintain high margins driven through operating leverage as sales increased by 23%. The product mix also improved as there was higher proportion of high-value polywool blends, better performance of gifting solutions, benefit from 2 to 4% price hike taken for certain categories in bookings done in mid of the year, and by 2-3x percent taken in early January, and operating cost optimization initiatives undertaken. Branded apparel segment recorded sales growth by 59% to 279 crore compared to 175 crore during fourth quarter of previous year, driven by strong consumer demand for our ready-to-wear apparel brand, and this is driven due to resumption of offices, social gatherings and upcoming wedding season. Growth was witnessed across all channels. The segment reported an EBITDA margin of 11%, driven by better realization, improved cost margin and continued cost optimization measures. We are happy to share that this is the second consecutive quarter of double-digit EBITDA margin in our branded apparel segment. Over the last few quarters, our strategic initiatives such as cost optimization, focus on consolidation of back-end processes and serviceability, store rationalization, channel-specific merchandise and online penetration have reaped positive outcomes. These initiatives have worked well and have made us leaner while enhancing our operational efficiency. We continue to focus on enabling growth through widening product portfolio, increase on online presence, network expansion through franchise model, and as we continue to work on back-end consolidation for achieving further efficiencies. We have received an overwhelming response from our customers for our new collections in core product portfolio, casual categories, and category extension in ethnic wear category. Our stores network and LFS doors witnessed increased footfalls and greater traction. Keeping up the demand for fresh collections with a quick turnaround of merchandise has witnessed growth in trade channels. We have also received an overwhelming response for our curated special lines for e-commerce marketplaces. Amplifying our reach through aggressive marketing campaigns in digital as well as in traditional media in targeted cities during festivals helped strengthen our brand and contributed to our sales. In the apparel business, the company has written off trade receivables amounting to 99 crores due to COVID impact. Let me explain. As we were aware that due to resurgence of multiple COVID waves, our channel partners were stuck with old inventory of prior COVID and COVID during the COVID period. Our channel partners were unable to sell these aged stocks, therefore asked for support to clear the inventory in the channel pipeline. We were able to convince the trade partners to sell these inventories and agree to share the discounts and to avoid the returns and avoid incremental logistics and warehousing costs. Keeping in mind huge trade channel network, good profitability margins and high percent of shares of sales, it was important to write off such an inventory and start fresh. Retail network. As of 31st of March, we had 1,351 stores spread across 600 towns. Amidst the backdrop of strong consumer sentiment, we witnessed strong traction in secondary sales with significant improvement in average transaction value. At our TRS shops, the network recorded 14% growth in average transaction value as compared to previous year levels. With a strong focus on boosting the health of the company's overall retail portfolio and reinvigorating the retail strategy, we had initiated in fiscal 21 store rationalization process of non-profitable and underperforming stores. During the fourth quarter, we closed 60 stores and currently the process has been completed. While at the same time, we are continuously evaluating opportunities to strengthen our retail footprint, during the quarter, we opened two stores across tier 1 to 4 towns. Garmenting segment grew by 69% to 213 crores compared to 126 crores in previous year, owing to strong momentum in export markets. High demand in bulk business and tailored clothing from existing customers and new customer acquisition in US and European markets have propelled retail sales. Additionally, China Plus One adoption by leading global brands and consolidation of vendors by some global brands and our elevation to critical supplier status has been instrumental in taking us ahead. The EBITDA for the quarter in the garmenting segment was 7 crores. While it improved from an EBITDA loss of 3 crores in the previous year, however, there was a continued impact of higher freight cost. And also to cater the higher demand, there has been an incremental cost of training of the workforce and which impacted the margin for the quarter. High-value cotton shirting segment sales grew by 31% to 175 crores compared to 133 crores in the previous year due to higher cotton fabric sales in the domestic market as strong demand from B2B customers continued. The segment reported an EBITDA margin of 8.5% for the quarter impacted mainly due to higher increasing cotton prices. Now the performance of the engineering business, which was consolidated under JK Python Engineering Limited in the last quarter, was on an aggregate basis, sales grew by 8% to 205 crores as compared to 189 crores in the previous year. Sales growth was propelled by strong performance in the domestic market and in export markets of US, Europe and Asia, led by drills, ring gears, water pump bearings. On an aggregate basis, the business reported lower EBITDA margin of 16.4% mainly due to increase in steel prices and freight costs, which were partly offset by higher productivity and efficiency. Steel prices have been in an inflationary trend, and we have been able to largely mitigate the impact with strategic buying during Q3 and early Q4 to cater to the entire Q4 demand. Also, as stated, we have the ability to pass on the same even though with a small time lag. Real estate segment. It grew by 495% to 321 crore from 54 crore in the previous year. There has been a sustained momentum in demand in the overall real estate sector, with key demand generators being affordability and rising income levels. The EBITDA margin stood at 17.4%, as there has been an impact of increase in the input prices, mainly steel and cement. Our real estate business witnessed growth due to higher number of bookings in both the projects. Our first project, 10X, received 146 bookings in the fourth quarter of fiscal 2022, resulting in total of 1,909 units booked as 31st March 2022, which accounts for 78% of the total inventory launched, with a booking value of 1,887 crore. Our new premium residential project, The Address by GF, which was launched in third quarter of fiscal 2022, continued to receive strong response from customers, with 62 bookings in the fourth quarter fiscal 2022. The total booking made for this project accounts for 179 units, which is also 78% of the total inventory launched, with a booking value of 400 crores. On the construction front, fast-paced construction activity continued in all 10 towers of the 10X Habitat project. On the next project, which is the Address by GS project, as well, the construction activity has started. Let me give details about the construction. In the 10X project, the tower-wise construction status is as follows. The terrace slab has been completed for the tower 1, 2, 3, 4. 30th slab completed for tower 5. 30th slab completed for tower 6. 32nd slab completed for tower 7, and 28th slab completed for tower 8, and tower 9 and 10 first slab has been completed. As far as our second project, The Address by GS, is concerned, the excavation and foundation work is in progress. As the revenue is recognized on percentage completion method, in this quarter we have started recognition of revenue on the premium project, The Address by GS. The revenue contribution from this project is approximately 46 crore in this quarter. Let me take a moment to give you an update on the consolidation of the business undertaken. Consolidation of the engineering business and the status of IPO. During the third quarter of fiscal 2022, we had done the consolidation of the engineering business. Post-consolidation, Ring Plus Aqua Limited became also a subsidiary of JK Files and Engineering Limited. This consolidation is expected to bring in synergies in terms of product applications, business development, sourcing of raw materials, logistics services, and overall administrative process. In line with our stated strategy to monetize the business and deleverage Raymond Limited, JK Files has filed a paper, filed for DRHP with the regulator and for performing an offer for sale of shares held by Raymond Limited and received already the regulatory approval. Now we are in the process of filing an updated DRHP, a UDRHP with FY22 audited financials. We will update you as we progress ahead on the game. As far as consolidation of B2C business, including apparel, into Raymond Limited is concerned, that is completed post the approval of the NCLT. The subsidiarization of the real estate business, which the board of directors approved the real estate business division to be subsidiarized into wholly owned subsidiary, the scheme has been filed with the regulator. Now let me talk about the current status of operations and the near-term outlook. We expect consumer demand to stay strong, with high number of weddings coupled with social gatherings and opening up of physical workspaces. This will drive healthy footfalls and thereby secondary sales. We are optimistic that the buying patterns would maintain on an overall basis. This is evident from the fact that all our trade channels are showing good signs of recovery and growth. Today, Raymond, with its strong brand equity and the nationwide presence in the 600 towns and cities, is the market leader in the menswear space. With continued innovations through our strong design, product development capabilities supported by vertically integrated manufacturing facilities and focused omni-channel presence, we are emerging stronger than ever before to unleash the growth potential in the Indian market. In the garmenting segment, export levers continue to be China plus one strategy and the global retail industry is undergoing consolidation. From a raw material perspective, wool prices and polyviscose have been stable and we expect them to remain there. As we all are aware that the cotton prices have increased by over 100% in the last 1 year, and given the commodity market price, markets are higher, we expect the cotton prices to stay at the higher level. In the engineering business, we are witnessing a healthy domestic retail demand in consumer sector and higher export demand mainly in industrial segment. We expect steel prices to soften, however, freight cost continues to remain close area of monitoring as there is shortage of containers which is resulting in delay in shipments as well as higher freight cost. From a long-term perspective, we are focused on consolidating market leadership, particularly in the industrial files and automotive segment, increase wallet share with the existing customers, increase presence in non-auto export market, and continue to build relationship with our white label customers for the engineering consumable products. We are expanding existing manufacturing capacity across product categories of cutting tools, ring gears, water bearings, pump bearings. In the real estate market, we expect the growth momentum in residential market, the commercial and retail markets to be maintained at healthy level. The construction activities are in full swing in both of our projects and we stay on course to deliver the first three towers of the 10X Habitat ahead of RERA timeline by nearly 24 months. Recent rate hike by RBI of 40 basis points, 1% metro cess imposed by central government, and increase in import prices are closely monitored. Additionally, our relentless focus on liquidity management through cost reduction initiatives and net working capital optimization, we aim to become a net debt-free company in the next 3 years. We look forward to your continued support in our journey. Thank you very much. We are open for questions now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets for asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Biplab Deepa Brahma from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. So my question is on the real estate. So, sir, I was just checking the numbers and you mentioned about the EBITDA margin of 17%. And if we do a ballpark calculation of, say, 4,500 construction cost, another 1,500 per square feet of, approval and premium, because it's Thane, it won't be that expensive, assuming that. And your selling rate is 11,000 or between 11,000 to 12,000 per square feet or 10,000 to 12,000. So ballpark it comes, it should be, the margin should be around 40-45%. And that's the normal margin for real estate projects where you have, the land is at historical cost for other developers. So I was just wondering whether I'm missing something or not. That's my first question, sir.
Yeah, Arman.
Yeah, so this is our maiden project.
So there is a lot of cost that we've incurred as far as the branding is concerned, and you are probably seeing the impact of that. Also, the entire organization which has been built is for this one project just now. And as we add number of projects, you will see the margins improve over the, in fact, if you see last year, the margins were 15%, and this year the margins are about 21%, if you see for the year as a whole. And you will continue to see an improvement going forward also.
So, sir, what other cost on parked feet is eating away our margin in real estate?
Yeah, you see, the fundamental is the cost you mentioned about the construction cost. There are two fundamental differences. One, the price at which you sell is on a built-up or super-built-up. Today we talk about always a carpet. However, the construction which you need to do is on a larger base. You have to construct the parking spaces, you have to build the amenities. So effectively, the cost of construction is higher compared to a direct construction cost, which becomes a livable area. So you have to consider everything, and we have considered everything in this project, and we are further refining. And the impact in this quarter is primarily, as I mentioned, is about the increase in the cement and the steel prices. So that has impacted in the quarter, and we have taken a further price increase going forward from April onwards. And let us also understand, this is a 1 BHK, 2 BHK, which is in the affordable segment. So the pricing of an affordable segment is comparatively lower compared to a 3 and a 4 BHK.
Anyway, I was just considering on the per square feet basis, because this is the industry standard. Okay, fine. Moving away from this point, the second point is on the in MMR region, we are expecting a lot of incremental supply, and many of them, especially in Thane market, many of them are reputed developers like you, like Raymond. So, and on the cost inflation that is going to, that is eating our margin, we are, many developers tend to pass on the cost to the customers. But to what extent are you able to pass on the cost, 100% of the cost inflation to the customers? That is my second question.
Yeah, the answer to that is yes, we have managed to pass on the entire cost which is there to the customer. In fact, if you see, the wage increase in the economy is expected to be in the range of about 10-12%. And the pricing increase in real estate is about 6-8% across the board, if you see, amongst the branded or known large developers. And we have also taken a similar increase in prices. So the Q4 impact that you are seeing, you will see a pullback on that impact from the next quarter. So we will go back to our, earlier margin of about 20%, 20-21%.
There is always a lag, because what happens is you buy the steel, you are not changing the price from today to tomorrow. Then we had launched the address by GS, which was already on a decent pickup. So the market also has to settle down. So we have been taking a price increase, and we feel very confident that whatever be the price increase on account of steel and cement will be passed on, or rather we have passed on during this quarter.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is in the line of Abhijit Kundu from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just hold on my... Yeah, so from my side, primarily wanted to know your strategy in branded apparel going ahead. You have shown a very good improvement in profitability through cost cutting. Now, and then you are adding up stores. So in terms of brands, which brands would really drive the growth, some perspective on that.
Yeah. So, Sunil, why don't you?
Yeah, okay, I'll take that. Yeah, hi, Abhijit. Hi, this is Sunil here. Okay, so I've been around 2 months here in the business. So I think I'll give my early perspectives on the way we are looking at the branded apparel segment of the business. So I think there is one very good thing which has happened in the business, as you are seeing in the Q4 results, is that the business has bounced back very strongly in a post-COVID year. So that augurs pretty well for the foundation of the business. I think there are two parts of the business, the way we look at it. One is what segments will, what brands will grow within our current portfolio of the four brands. And then we're also looking at some new segments where we believe there can be a huge growth for us. So let me answer the first part. So we have four brands right now within our branded apparel portfolio, which is Raymond Ready Mades, Kara Plus, Park Avenue, and there's a youth brand called Parks. Right now, I think the I'm in the middle of doing a detailed brand architecture exercise. Okay, and I think in a couple of months, we would have pretty clearly outlined which brands would have what role to play. But the good part is that each of these brands have a very unique positioning in the market. Like, for example, Parks is a completely youth-centric, almost a streetwear brand. Kara Plus is a very iconic, you know, casual brand built on a very clear specialty product portfolio like Cheetos. Park Avenue has very strongly established itself in a formal wear men's, which can extend across both smart casual as well as office wear. And Raymond Apparel, obviously, as you know, is stands for luxury essentials and, you know, premium formals. So I think the broad, you know, positioning spaces are clear in my mind. It's just that we'll do this exercise and then try to define clearly as to how these four spaces will be taken forward for us. In terms of, if I have to say, I have to take a first cut on out of these four, which three would be? I would say definitely Raymond's, Park Avenue, and Kara Plus would be very growth areas for us. But at the same time, I see a huge scope of Parks being a very youth-centric brand, having a very specialized position. Coming to another new area, which is a very important focus for us, which we're looking at is the segment of ethnics. And that's going to be a very important project for us, you know, going forward. And that is an area where we believe Raymond has a pretty strong right to win given the weddings, etc. And I think that is something we'll look forward also.
Yeah, and you see, for us, what is critical, you know, we have been following the omni-channel strategy, and that has really worked extremely well for us. And the other thing which we did is the merger of Raymond Apparel with the business of Raymond Apparel with Raymond Limited. So consolidating the B2C business under one Raymond Limited is going to augur very well. Similar strategies to be followed at the TRSS, at the EBOs. So these things, as Sunil mentioned, will take the apparel business to a next height.
Okay, got it. Thanks. And my second question was on the branded textiles business. This quarter has shown very good growth. But, you know, over a 3 to 4 year, from a 3 to 4 year perspective or 3 to 5 year perspective, you know, typically this segment would grow at about 7 to 8%. What can be done and how is the company working towards it to really grow it at, say, in low double digits? Is there is a scope to grow it at low double digits or very well penetrated? Because, you know, here you make very strong margins, great cash flow business, but I mean, so what is the, you know, what should be the growth trajectory that one should look at?
Yeah, no, I think this is very interesting. You know, the branded textiles is absolutely the strength of Raymond Group, and it includes the suitings as well as the shirting. You know, we are by far, suitings, no doubt, we are in the worsted, you own 65% market share. In the shirting, again, in terms of the branded, you are the number one player. However, we see a great opportunity in the shirting, because if we talk about, we have seen that we can grow the shirting business exponentially over the next 3 to 4 years as we are getting more and more wholesalers onboarded with us and we are bringing new collections. As I talked about in my script, the wife which connects to the youth. So these are some of the things which we are doing, and we see a good opportunity in terms of growth for our shirting business, which will enable us to get into a double-digit growth. And Sunil?
Yeah, I think, you know, what Amit has said is pretty much bang on. I think shirting the spoke with this, as Amit has said, without expanding for the huge headroom to grow for us. I think the market itself is huge, and our brand has a huge equity, and I think we can gain a lot of market shares there. On shooting business, there's one perspective which I would be looking forward is, I think given that even though we have 60% market share, we are seen as a very premium brand. And I think there is still scope for us to maybe push together forward a greater premiumization of the suiting business. And that, I think, could be a very interesting lever going forward for us.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to understand in terms of your subsidiary Raymond Consumer, there were some reports of you potentially unlocking value. I just wanted to understand how much stake do you have in that business? And how has that business done this year in terms of revenues and profits? And is the news that we hear likely to happen sometime in the future? That was question one. Question two was, since you're doing a lot of subsidiarization, do you think that the plan that we had maybe 18 months back pre-COVID of splitting the businesses is still a potential event, maybe in the next 12 to 18 months, because obviously, you know, there is a lot of value in Raymond, which doesn't seem to be still unlocked. So just wanted to understand your thoughts on that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. No, absolutely. So first of all, as just the housekeeping, we own 48.7% in the consumer care business as Raymond Limited. As far as the performance of that business, it's a very strong FMCG brand. You know, it's a household name. Park Avenue DO as well as KS DOs and the Kama Sutra, the sexual wellness products, is very, very well known. The strong performance. So as I look at it, this, on an annualized basis, if we consider that delivers a revenue to the tune of 850 to 875 crores and delivering a decent margin on this business, then we see a significant potential on this business to take it forward because of the formidable brand which we have. And it is very well distributed between a combination of general trade, modern trade, over 650,000 points we sell across the country. As far as what you read in the newspapers, you see, as a company, we continue to evaluate all opportunities which comes to us. We would not say no or yes to anything unless until we have done our decent evaluation, which creates further shareholder value for all of you. So our focus is on that, and as and when something meaningful comes up, we will communicate. But we continue to evaluate things. As far as the demerger and the subsidiarization and such things is concerned, as we mentioned, we are following the journey in order to simplify the business, make it much more robust, more efficient, and reduce the cost. As you have seen, that compared to the pre-COVID levels, we have reduced the cost in this year also with such a strong performance on the revenue by 500 crores. So our focus is also towards that, and whatever it takes us to deliver a shareholder value, we will do that.
Right. And one last question I just wanted to understand. On your ethnics business, you know, you have now a listed competitor. I just wanted to understand in terms of size and scale, how big would your business be? And wanted to understand in terms of margins, are you as competitive in the marketplace as, you know, your competition? And just wanted to understand if there is a potential subsidiarization of that business in the future as well that can happen.
Absolutely. I think ethnics is a great business for us. Obviously, we have started this business once again in a stronger manner. Today, the revenue is small. It is in that range of 70-75 crores. It is not very large. However, the gross margin in that business, the EBITDA margin, is very, very high. Because first of all, you know, it is something which we get it done through our unique channel network. Second, we also get it in terms of sourcing of the product. We have been in the business of manufacturing fabric for last 97 years. So we know exactly what fabric is to be required, what to be produced. So we see a good opportunity. And as we have talked about earlier also, over the next 3 to 4 years, we are going to have at least 4x to 5x of this revenue in the next 3 to 4 years. and we are planning to open stores, and I will ask now Sunil to add more onto this subject.
Yeah, so clearly, as I mentioned earlier also, this is a very important focus area for us. It's a very exciting and very large segment, and we have a right to win. In this year itself, we are looking at, and the process is right currently on in the first quarter itself, we are looking at opening up and reaching a footprint of roughly around 130 to 150 stores of ethnics of our own. This, apart from that, this is apart from the presence that we'll have, obviously, in, you know, some of the leading, TRS channels of our own, because we are looking at creating, you know, a very large floor spaces of shopping shops within our large retail stores as well, and also some LFS. So the whole plan is pretty strong and moving forward very, actively.
And just one last question. You mentioned that you want to be net debt-free in 3 years. Isn't that very conservative? Because you are already looking to unlock value via your subsidiaries. So don't you think this could be achieved, you know, well ahead of that 3 year target?
We would be happier to do so.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Bhagjatia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So just my question is on the ethnic side only. If you can throw some more light your plans on the ethnic side, your focus mainly on the men, women, or kids side, how it is initially, or all the three categories you want to target?
Sunil?
Yeah, okay. So clearly, initial foray, I think in the first couple of years, would be to, as Amit said, the brand has just started coming back strongly after COVID. The first focus is clearly going to be men's apparel within the ethnics, and we'll be very sharply focused at least for the next 2 years. The plan is to, in this year, open roughly around, as I said, 150-odd stores, and then double it up over the next 2-odd years. And this is a battle that we'd like to really win very strongly. And then later on, we'll evaluate whether there is a scope to take it to a women's wear or not. One more thing which we have also seen in the ethnic segment, which is a very interesting point, which we believe we are very strong in, is that normally the first perception which comes of ethnic is that it is only for wedding wear, etc. A large chunk of ethnic wear in India is in a regular daily to wear, which is happens even otherwise in a non-wedding season itself. So that's also a very important core part of this business.
Okay, helpful. So just extending to this discussion only, what sort of the pricing you are looking at? Is the premium pricing, premium market in the ethnic side you want to target, or it is the starting affordable segment you start with?
No, we are a premium brand, so we would actually peg ourselves roughly around, I would say, maybe 10% premium to Manyavar, or in that range itself. So it will be, I would say, 1 to in that big market itself. We are not going to go very cheap. We are not, because we are Raymond's. And definitely, we see that we'll play in the premium segment itself. And I can tell you, if you go down to our stores very soon, you'll see we have a very, very differentiated offering.
Okay. So, if you are planning to sell this to your recent network only, or like you said, 120, 130 stores you are planning to open, so you need the additional capital also. What kind of the capital allocation are you looking for this business in the next 2-3 years, right?
Yeah, so basically you see what happens is we have a mix of our own stores, company owned and franchisee. You see, we are having a relationship with a franchisee group of more than 1,000 stores, 1,400 stores all across the country. So we will have a combination between our own stores as well as with the franchisee. So it would not be a very significant capital which would be required in order to be invested to open these stores of 120.
Okay. And margin-wise, if you can comment, compared to branded apparel side or branded textile, what sort of the difference in the terms of margin in the ethnic side?
In terms of very clearly ethnics, you will not sell normally on a discount, whereas in the apparel segment, you are selling an end-of-season sale, which is a normal feature of this business. In the branded apparel, that is a very normal that you have twice end of season sale, so that brings your margins down in that business.
Okay. Second question is on the garmenting side of the business. If you can explain some more, what sort of the strategy do you have in the terms of customer acquisition which market you are targeting now. Like you said, you have acquired some customer acquisitions. So if you can explain a little bit more what sort of the opportunity looking there and what sort of the sustainable margin we can expect in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. Sunil?
Yeah. Okay, so here there I would say, as Amit mentioned, see the context is the China plus one context, I think, is a very, very strong tailwind which is happening for this business. So I think we should keep that in mind. So there's a huge, order books which are coming out from the Western countries which are looking for creating a base beyond China and a very stable base. And we have actually, we are very well placed because we have actually got a technical capability. This is a very skillful business with a skill and a technical capability to build it up. The two pivots that we're looking at is, A, within the markets which you are strong in, acquire new customers. And second is also look at expanding to new markets. So it's both a mix of new customer acquisition as well as new geographies. We have already got a very strong base in US and parts of Europe. So the first bet would be to expand to more new customers within US. At the pace, parallelly, we are also looking at opening up new geographies in Europe itself.
Yeah, and just to supplement what Sunil mentioned, you see, fundamentally, this China plus one, and people have started to, our customers have started to diversify beyond China. So there were some customers who were not coming to us because of the pricing point, because they were able to buy cheaper. Now they have realized that they have to come to us and pay our prices. And because of that, we have got some 4 new customers during the last year who have given substantial capacity to us, and it would reach at their normal level, almost 25 to 30% of our current capacity could be consumed by those. Second, what has also happened is there were many retailers across the globe who have gone or consolidated and merged with some other retailers. Unfortunately, we were working with some of the retailers who have taken over some of the other retail businesses. So our size has increased further because of the increased buying. So these two are putting us and in helping us to grow our garmenting business strongly. Even in our Ethiopian business, which used to operate before pandemic, let's say to the tune of 35, 40, 45% capacity, it has moved to close to 80, 85% capacity utilization.
Oh, okay. Sir, on the margin side, what is the sustainable margin for the next 2 years, right?
You mean in the garmenting business?
Garmenting?
Yeah, garmenting, garmenting.
Yeah, around the 8, 8.5% is the sustainable margin business.
Okay. And sir, in the terms of capacity, like you said, 60-65% we are running it, right?
No, I said in my Ethiopian facility, we are running at 80-85%, and Indian facilities, we are in close to 90%+.
Okay. So how many pieces capacity we have?
Oh, sorry to interrupt. Sir, may we request that you return to the question queue, that a participant waiting for their turn.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant only. Next question is from the line of Puneet Kabra, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. First of all, congratulations on this performance. I think being an investor in Raymond since 16,
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kabra. Sir, we are not able to hear you clearly.
Just 1 second.
Sure. Thank you.
Sir, first of all, congratulations on this financial performance. I think these are unbelievable numbers. Back in 2016, I think this would be our best case scenario. So, excellent. The question I have is these margins and working capital days improvement, how sustainable is this as you pursue growth? Because I guess in the last 2 years have mostly been around doing cost optimization, getting the cost structures right, cleaning up, store rationalization. But as you, at some point as you start pursuing growth, what do you think is, are these margins, working capital, days, are all of these sustainable, or do you think these will take a dip as you pursue growth?
Look, 2 things fundamentally, that even in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, we are achieving close to pre-COVID levels of revenue. But we have been able to demonstrate consistently that our cost is less, and what you will see a cost increase is going to be on the inflation side. But on a fundamental basis, at the fiscal 20 level, we have taken out almost 400 crore of cost. So the inflation will be applied on the cost of, let's say, 2000 crores on an adjusted basis of fiscal 20. And then you provide for an inflation. Otherwise, you would have provided on 2400 the inflation. So that's number one. Second thing, as far as the working capital is concerned, you know, we have put in huge amount of effort in terms of managing the receivables, the inventory, which is very, very clearly demonstrated consistently after achieving these levels of revenue. So our endeavor is to maintain these levels of working capital. You will always have seasonality quarter one and quarter two, but then over the year, you will achieve these kind of, on an average basis, the working capital levels to these.
So one difference when we say pre-COVID revenue, at least for the organization as a whole, I don't think on a top line we are still at the pre-COVID revenue for a year as a whole. And if you take real estate out for a like-to-like comparison, then actually we are below the pre-COVID revenue. So that's where my question is, as you pursue growth and you want to cross the pre-COVID revenue X of real estate, you believe these are sustainable numbers on a full year basis?
Yeah, so you have to consider not a full year, because you see the full year revenue has an impact of second wave of COVID in the first quarter. So if you exclude that, your third quarter and fourth quarter, which is more a relevant measure for your working capital, is clearly pre-COVID levels.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And congrats again.
Thank you. The next question from the panel for Abacus. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, please.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers. So I have two bookkeeping questions. So basically, our other income has increased this quarter. So is there any one-off item included in this? And secondly, sir, what would be the effective tax rate going forward?
So look, other income is basically on account of the interest and certain asset sale which we have done. So like one of our facilities in Canada in the engineering business which we sold, that has contributed to a certain asset sale. And as far as the tax rate is concerned, for going forward, in the range of 24-25% would be our tax rate. Obviously, you will have
tax
less. Yeah, cash tax will be less. It will be the tax system.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naisar Parekh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on receivables. I think we've written off around 57 crores of receivables in the quarter and 216 crores for the year. I just want to understand if we think this, you know, this provides for everything, or will we have to provide for some more? And if you could provide the number of receivable amount which is greater than 6 months, which I think you disclose in the annual report. So what is the amount of receivables as of March 22 greater than 6 months, please?
Yeah. So look, as far as the receivable provision is concerned, this is a lot to do in our apparel business, which was impacted severely, in the, especially in the MBO segment, as they were not able to sell. And the possibility was either to take back the material or share some of the discounts and the claims with these guys. So we took that later approach, because go take the return, there would be logistics cost, administrative cost, and selling it would have been difficult. So that was the reason it was mostly sharing of those claims which has been there, and it has been completed. Because I believe now the COVID is over, now we do not see any further impact on the COVID. So that is settled and then is behind us. One second, we'll give you the number. 6 months, sir. Mukund will communicate with you one-on-one in terms of 6 months numbers. We don't have handy as of now.
Got it. Sure. And my second question is on, you know, related party transactions, which, again, we report in the annual report. And, you know, you obviously spoke about, you know, shareholder value creation. So, and historically, you know, when we compare our related party transactions to, you know, other reputed companies, the amount of related party transactions we have with promoter entities are obviously significantly higher including purchase and sale of goods. Do you think there is any plan to streamline some of that, which would, you know, obviously enhance shareholder confidence and, you know, will also result in more shareholder value?
Yeah, so basically, you know, there is one activity which the one of the promoter entity has created that facility in the shirting business, and that is why it has to be done through that facility, because it makes no sense for us, because there is a certain skilled workforce, certain equipments have been placed by those people, and therefore that purchase of certain cotton shirting material happens through that facility. Rest, all of the transactions which you see is primarily from a parent, from a Raymond Limited to its subsidiary.
Right. My question also was that, you know, is there a way in which we can...
sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking up.
No, my follow-up to that was that, you know, the amount is not small. It is a big amount. So is there any way we can, you know, obviously streamline that, do it through either the wholly owned subsidiary of the company or the way it is done with many companies to just enhance confidence?
You see, it is at the arm's length. It is being audited, evaluated by a third party. So I don't see that it is the question of saying it can be done by an entity A, which is a subsidiary or an associate entity. The point is very simple, that they have put up a facility which is being used, and there is a skilled workforce in that entity which we need to continue to perform. And at the end of the day, it is an arm's length transaction. And more than 25 years that has been in the business by doing that. So therefore, we have this whole knowledge sitting there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Faisal Parekh from Need Capital. Please go ahead.
So just one more follow-up. In terms of the raw material price and the price increase, you attributed a bit to it, but could you just give what is the price increases that we've taken over the last few months? And given the way the cotton prices are increasing, do we think that we need to take further price increases in the coming quarters? Or is there any pressure on margins that we see?
I think excellent question. And look, the price of the cotton candy, which used to be before 15 months in the range of 42,000 rupees a candy, has moved up close to 97,000-98,000 rupees a candy. However, if I look at my shirting fabric, what you really consume is a 200 gram per meter of a cotton shirting fabric. So therefore, what we need to increase the price in the range of 23-24%. And till March, we had increased the prices to the tune of 17-18%. And from May, June onwards, we have increased another 6% price increase, so that it helps us to nullify whatever has been the increase in the cotton price over the last 1.5 years. So we are on that front. As far as the wool is concerned, wool has been practically flat. PV, polyviscose yarn, there has been a small increase in the prices of close to 15%, and we have been able to increase our PV product by close to 9% selling prices. Even the wool, because of strength of the brand and the unique network, we have been able to increase also the price by 4-4.5%. So across the board, we are seeing, as we speak today, we have been able to pass on between now and in the next 3 months all the price increases which has been reflected on the cotton and the yarn.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you very much to listening to us, and we will talk again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.